Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
Amen. Romans 15, verse 13 says this: I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this privilege, O Lord God, Lord, to be part of a church like this, Lord God, and to be standing in a service like this, where you are here and you are moving. And Lord, as we go into your word now, we really come with expectation in our hearts. We pray that you'd speak to us, O God, and that you would, Lord God, feed us and build us up with the truth of who you are and the truth of the hope that we have in you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hope. Hope. Has anyone ever seen that little notice that you'll find on certain food packets? May contain nuts. Ever seen that? May contain nuts. That's obviously for people who have nut allergies. The food may taste absolutely wonderful, but they just want to make sure that if you have a food allergy, that you know that it may contain nuts. And if you do have a food allergy, when you've read that sentence, there then is a twinge of doubt that may hit you. You may then think twice about eating that food because there may be nuts in it. May contain nuts. What's that got to do with hope? Well, the way that we use the word hope usually carries the same twinge of doubt. In fact, hope, which is in itself a very positive word, we all the time use this positive word to convey doubt, to say that it may contain nuts. Think about this sentence, this sentence here. I hope it doesn't rain today. What does that really mean? I hope it doesn't rain today. We're basically saying, I don't want it to rain, but it probably will, but it might not, but I hope it doesn't. So this positive word is actually being used to convey doubt. Have you ever got to the wrong airport gate and realized, like when you've got like 5 minutes to go, that the gate you're meant to be at is 15 minutes away? And you had to do the whole long trek and run. Has anyone ever run at an airport? I'll let you know, I'm allergic to running at airports. I am allergic to it. It's not good for my health. I would much rather get there 3 hours early and just sit there than have to do the mad 5 minute run to try and get to the gate. And what are you thinking? I hope the plane doesn't leave. I hope the plane doesn't leave. Even though you're trying to be positive, you're conveying a whole lot of doubt. You're saying, you know what, that plane's gonna leave, that plane's gonna leave, the plane's gonna leave. A positive word used to convey doubt. I think almost every married man knows this one. I hope her parents like me. The very first time that you meet the parents of your beloved. And inside you, you're thinking, okay, well, I smell good, I've cleaned, I've done my best. I hope they like me. And inside that hope, there may well be this twinge of doubt. They might not, but I hope they do. And we use hope in this way again and again and again and again. A positive word used to convey doubt. But when you look at the Bible's concept of hope, the big difference is this. In the Bible's concept of hope, there is no doubt at all. When we say hope, it may contain nuts. But when the Bible talks about hope, there's no doubt in it at all. Can you even imagine hope without any doubt? Imagine if we had an adjustable level. We had a hope machine. And on our hope machine, there's an adjustable dial on our hope machine as to how much doubt is in that hope. Living in Manchester, I hope it doesn't rain. Well, you know, you've at least got your doubt up to 5, right? At least. Maybe a 6. 6 out of 10. Huh? What about the other one? What was that? I hope the plane doesn't leave me. The few times I've been in that situation, doubt's been ramped up to a number 9. And I am literally ripping through that airport, knocking old ladies over for my life to try and get to my gate before the plane leaves. I won't tell you the story now, but the first time I met my marriage-in-law, it was a number 10, right? I messed up. It's okay. It's okay now. But at the beginning, it was like a number 10. Oh, they hate me. They hate me. Now they love me. They call me son. Don't worry about it. I'm loved. But that's what the diet is like when we use the word hope. How much doubt is there in your hope? In the Bible's concept, there is zero. Doubt is turned right down to zero. There's no doubt. There's just hope. Have a look at this scripture here. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. It says this. God is not a man, so he does not lie. He is not human, so he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? Here in this verse, there are 5 unshakable truths about God. Number 1, God doesn't lie. Number 2, God does not change his mind. Number 3, God does not fail to act. And number 4, God always follows through. And there's one more. But I can't go to that one yet because I saw a twinge of doubt in some people's faces when I said number 2. God does not change his mind. Anyone that knows their Bible may start thinking of times when it looks like God changed his mind. When he chose King Saul as king, and then it says that he relented. Kind of like, almost like, well, I wish I didn't choose him. Or maybe, I don't know, when they sent the flood to cover the earth. And it says, and he was sorry that he made man who was so full of sin. He said, I'm going to send a flood to cover the earth. And if you know those scriptures, you might be thinking, well, doesn't that mean that God does change his mind then? Does God change his mind? Well, no. God doesn't change his mind. See, it's not like us, where it's like, you know, you might make a boo-boo, right? God doesn't make a boo-boo. God's never sort of like, oops. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. Oops, I better do it differently because I shouldn't have done that. That's not in God. What you have in God is simply things that he will do and things that he will do as long as we comply. Things that he will do whether we agree or not, things that he will do if we obey. And for instance, look at Abraham. When he called Abraham and said, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to give you descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. That was God saying, I'm going to do this. That's simply it. I'm going to do this. But sometimes it's different. He says, I'm going to do this as long as you do that. I'm going to do it. But if you do that, then I'm going to have to do this instead. It's not that he changed his mind. God is always set on doing what he said he's going to do. Like, for instance, that scripture, he gives grace to the humble and resists the proud. That's a promise from God. And so therefore, if you humble yourself before God, God will give you grace. But if you get proud, it's not that he's changing his mind. In fact, he's staying absolutely true to what he said. If you decide to become proud, he'll resist you instead. He hasn't changed his mind. And that's the thing about God. He doesn't change his mind. He is utterly reliable. He is unshakably dependable. He doesn't lie. Never. He doesn't change his mind. Never. He doesn't fail to act. Never. And he always, always follows through. God is not like us, where sometimes I'll say, I'll call you back, and then I forget. God always follows through. Isn't that wonderful to know? And that leads to the fifth point. If God doesn't lie, and if God doesn't change his mind, and if God doesn't fail to act, and if God always follows through, then when God makes a promise, his promises are solid. If I make a promise, where do you turn the doubt dial? But when God makes a promise, right down to zero, there's no doubt in it. Have a look at this scripture, Hebrews chapter 6, verses 18 to 19. It's what it says. So God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. Because God is utterly reliable, his promises are utterly reliable. That's just the way it is. If he promises to do something, he will do it. That's his integrity. He keeps to his word. He says it, he'll do it. And if it's a conditional promise, then it's conditional upon our obedience. And if we obey, we can be certain that he will do it because that is his promise. In Isaiah 45, verse 23, it says this, I have sworn by my own name, I have spoken the truth, and I will never go back on my word. No wonder the book of Hebrews calls his promises a strong and trustworthy anchor. According to the scriptures, God's word is our guarantee. If God said, I will save you, he will save you. If God said, I will keep you, I will keep you. If God said, I will provide for you, I will provide for you. If God said, I will protect you, he will protect you. Every promise that God makes is utterly reliable because God himself is utterly reliable. You see, on that hope machine, there isn't just a doubt dial. There's a promise dial too. This is where I think a lot of us, something can go wrong. There are Christians who are discouraged. There are Christians who are depressed. There are Christians who struggle to believe. This is the Rheology series, right? I think every one of us at some times has known what it is like to have the doubt dial turned up in our lives. But why is that? Often it's because we don't know the promises that God has made. If we knew God's promises, we could turn the doubt dial down and turn the promise dial up. You see, I know I'm never alone because God said he would never leave me nor forsake me. that's his promise. Therefore, even if I feel alone, I know I'm not alone because his promise is sure because he's reliable. Turn the promise dial up. See, I know that no weapon formed against me can prosper because God said that. That's his promise. So even if there is a weapon being used against me, it won't prosper against me because God has made a promise. And that's what I'm holding on to. If God makes the promise, it's reliable because he is reliable. Why do we have Christians at times who seem so discouraged? Why do we have Christians at times who are struggling to do the right thing? Why do we have Christians at times who are struggling even to smile? Often, it's because the promise dial is turned right down. It may be that that Christian doesn't even know what God's promise is for his or her life. So they're walking through life just hoping with the doubt dial turned up. Oh, I hope God comes through for me. Oh, I hope God takes care of me. And we're using hope, not in the biblical way, we're using it in the way that everyone uses it. It may contain nuts. Well, I hope he does, but he may not. I hope he provides, but he may not. I hope he, but he may not. And they walk through life without a real sense of confidence, without a real sense of strength, because they don't know the promise that God has for their life. It says in Romans 15:4, the scriptures give us hope. I've recently been enjoying prayer, probably more than ever before in my life, because I feel like God's been giving me a fresh revelation of his promises. If God promises, then that's it, because God is God. He's not a man that he would lie. He doesn't make a promise and not keep it. So if I flip the pages of scripture and I find that God says something to me, then that is the way it is, and that's final. If God says that nothing can separate me from his love, that means I am deeply loved and nothing is able to take that love away from me. I walk in the love of God. I stand in the love of God. I fail in the love of God and I get back up in the love of God because his love for me conquers everything. I overcome, I break through, I rise, I get better because he loves me. He loves me. So many times, Christians walk through life not even sure of his love, because even though he made the promise, they turn the promise dial down and turn the doubt dial up. What if you just turn that doubt dial off and believe the promise? See, getting into the scriptures is so key when it comes to hope. Hope is not a wishy-washy, I hope so. Hope is a definite, I know so. When you take the doubt out of hope, all you have left is expectation. Huh? Expectation. When you take all the doubt out of hope, you're left with expectation. If you hope the bus will come and the doubt dials up, you're standing there for 10 minutes, 20 minutes, like, oh, I hope the bus comes. You're not sure it's gonna come. But if the doubt dial is turned right to zero, then all you've got left is expectation. I don't doubt that the bus is gonna come. Whether it comes in 5 minutes, whether it comes in 10 minutes, that bus is gonna come. And it's the same thing with our relationship with Christ. If you turn the doubt dial down, then all you're left with is expectation. I don't know how long it will take for God to heal me, but the doubt dial is turned right down, and all I've got left now is expectation that at some point the healing power of God is going to touch my life, because God said that he is the healer in my life. I don't know how long it will take me to overcome this or break through that, but the promise is that I am more than a conqueror through Christ who loves me. So if I turn that doubt right down and turn the promise up, I have a security, and all I have now is expectation. I expect to win. I expect to overcome. I expect to break through. I expect to see the enemy defeated in my life, because doubt has been turned right down, and the promise of God has been turned right up in my life, in my heart, in my song, and in my praying. When you pray according to God's promises, there's no doubt in the prayer. When you pray in line with what God has said he will do, there's no doubt in the prayer. Every human being knows what it's like to cry out with doubt in your heart. But when you have gone into the scriptures, and when you've read what God said he's going to do, and you believe that God doesn't lie, then you just turn the doubt dial right down and you pray with absolute expectation that God will do what he said he will do. God said that he would hear our prayers. He said that the fervent prayers of a righteous person are powerful and they're effective. And if that's what God said, then that means that when I get into prayer under the righteousness of Christ, I know that what I'm about to pray is going to be powerful and it's going to be effective, because that's what God said. That's what he said. When you have that, you don't pray kumbaya prayers. When you have that, you don't mumble a wishy-washy hope in the direction of God. When you have that, when you've been in the Word, when you've been in the Scriptures, when you've looked at what God says, when you've rightly divided it, when you understand what God's Word says, and you get into prayer based on that, then doubt gets turned right down. Promises, God's promises, gets turned right up, and there is a power in your prayer. So then, when you have that, when you've grabbed hold of that, then what? And this is where I think it comes to the crux of hope. When you believe that God will not lie and will come through, when you've been in the scriptures and you've looked at the word and you've seen what God's word says and you believe it because God doesn't lie, and then you've prayed it and you said, God, I believe that you're going to do this. It's what your word says. So I am believing you for it. I'm asking you for it in faith, and I'm believing and I'm thanking you in advance. Then what? Then we wait. Then we wait. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 25. It says this. Verses 24 and 25. We were given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. When you already have something, you don't have to hope for it. You don't have to wait for it, because you've got it. But is there something, have you ever experienced that, when you've wanted something and you haven't got it yet? And you're believing God for it, but you haven't got it yet. When your doubt dial is turned up, you begin to lose hope. Well, maybe God's not going to do this then. Maybe God's not going to come through. Maybe it's not going to happen for me. Maybe it's not. But when you've read the word and you know what God's promise is for you, and you've turned that dial of doubt right down, now you're just expecting. You're just expecting. I don't know when, and I don't know how, but God's on it. I don't know how he's going to do it, but he promised it, and therefore he's going to do it. I don't know what it's going to look like, but all I know is this. He said he's going to do it, and therefore he's going to do it. I'm so grateful. Every time I get the chance to speak, I keep saying it. I'm so grateful for the prophecy that God gave to Sister Vicky about this spacious place that he's brought us into. I take that as a promise because my mind and my hope and my expectation had shrunk until I heard that word. Until I heard that word. Actually, God has not brought us into a tiny space where nothing is possible. God has brought us into a vast expanse where anything's possible in him. And therefore, there are hopes and there are dreams that have come to life in me that had laid dormant, but they're alive again in me. And I walk with these hopes and I walk with these dreams and I pray these things. And I don't know when and I don't know how they're going to happen, but they're going to happen because I've taken a hold of God's promise for my life. And therefore, even if I look around me and I can't see it, I no longer have faith in the things that I see around me. My faith is in the promise of God. And sooner or later, what God said he's going to do in my life, he's going to do. I'm just waiting. I'm just waiting. I'm just waiting. Don't worry. I'm just waiting. And sometimes I feel strong and I'm waiting. And sometimes I feel weak, but I'm just waiting because God said he's going to do it. Therefore, he's going to do it. My hope will not shake. My hope will not waver because my God does not shake and my God does not waver. His promises are yes and amen. What does the Bible mean when it says wait? Often when we think of the word wait, we think of wait as do nothing. We wait. Okay, that means I do nothing. I'm waiting. Okay, I'm waiting. God's gonna do it. I'm just waiting. That's not the biblical concept of wait. I think you could put the biblical concept of wait into three P's. How do you wait when you have got the promise from God and you're believing that God's going to do it? How do you wait? The first P I already talked about, pray. While you're waiting, pray into that thing. Pray into that thing. Pray and pray again. Be like the one that knocks at the door, but not knocking out of desperation because you're not sure it's going to open. Knocking because you know sooner or later it's going to open. So don't worry. I know you're in there. I'm going to keep knocking. Pray and pray again and pray again and pray again and pray again. And pray again. And every time you're just knocking, I know God's going to deliver me from this. God's going to heal me from that. God's going to open up that door. I know God's going to do, because if God gave me a promise, I'm standing on that promise. That's it. God said it. No weapon formed against that, it's going to prosper. So I pray again, Lord. Lord, would you do it, God, in your way? Would you do it, God, in your time? And Lord God, I'll keep on praying because I know I'm praying your will. And if I'm praying your will, then it's just a matter of time. You're going to do it, God, to the glory of your name. Keep praying. The second P is prepare. 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 See, when you know it's going to rain outside, you're going to put on rain clothes, right? Unless you're like, you know, I don't know, something's not quite right, and you're like, okay, I want to go out in there in shorts. If you know it's going to pour down with rain, you're going to put rain clothes on. You're going to prepare. If you believe it's going to be sunny, if you know it's going to be sunny, you're not going to go out there with a duffel coat on and a scarf. You're going to put your shorts on, man. You know, sun's out, guns out, and all that, right? Because you know it's going to be sunny. You prepare. And when we say wait in the Bible, wait doesn't mean do nothing. Wait means get ready. If you really believe that God is going to do something, then you better get ready for it. No wonder he told the prophet Isaiah, gave the prophecy to enlarge the place of your tent and stretch your tent curtains wide. He was saying, make room because God's about to bust this thing open. Don't wait until he's done it and then you're like flapping about thinking, oh, he really did it. If you really believe he's going to do it, then get ready now. Get ready now. Maybe you need to start taking some lessons in something because you know God's going to do something in the future. Maybe you need to start taking lessons again. I've taken up my classical piano lessons again, and I will complete that in Jesus' name because I believe God's going to do something. I believe that God's going to do something brand new through my classical music. I know it. I believe it. And so I'm going to invest in it and get ready for it. It might happen this year. It might happen next year. I don't know, but I believe it. At the beginning of this year, sitting right over there on that corner, I felt the Lord whisper to me and say, I'm going to teach you how to lead worship all over again. And I broke down into tears and I cried. And I was like, yeah, Lord, please, because I feel dusty. I feel dusty. I said, Lord, please, teach me again. And so therefore, I'm just preparing, man. And I'm learning and I'm growing. I don't care who you are, how long you've been leading worship. You might have led worship just for 5 weeks. I'm watching you because I'm ready to learn from you. Because God said he's going to teach me. I'm looking at videos. I'm watching things. I'm reading about it. Because God said he's going to teach me all over again. So I'm getting ready for the teacher to speak into my life. What did God say that he was going to do in your life in 2017? What did God say he was going to do in your life at some point in the future? Are you ready? Are you getting prepared? Or is it pie in the sky? If God promised it, turn the doubt dial to zero and turn the promise dial up. Pray into the promise and prepare for it. And thirdly, the last P is this, participate. Participate. Get involved. You know, you've got the guy that says, yeah, God's called me to preach to the nations. But they won't even go and speak in kids' gang. It's like, oh, wait a minute. Get involved, dude. If you really believe that God has that for you, then get involved. Participate. Get in there right now. God's going to give me a huge catering business, but you won't join hospitality ministry. Man, get involved. If you believe that God has something great for you, get involved in that thing. Participate. You see, too many Christians, it's normally the ones that are lacking joy, who go off into the outskirts. They go off onto the periphery. And they're over there. They isolate themselves. You talk to them and they say they're fine. I'm fine. But are you really fine? How can you be so fine all the way out there by yourself? Where is your hope? Because when hope has turned up in your life, then whether you see it or not, you're in it. You're in it. You get involved. You get in there somehow. That's why through thick and thin, by God's grace, I try to stay at my post. I'm not easy to let go of my post unless God says, pass my post over. If God doesn't tell me to pass the post over, I got to stay at my post. Stay involved, stay committed, stay engaged, Stay in the fight, man. Stay in the middle of it. Don't go out to the periphery. That's not hope. That means the doubt dial is turned up and no one else can turn it down but you. Turn that dial down. Find the promise of God in Scripture. Pray and pray and pray. Start getting ready for the promise to be fulfilled and get in the middle of the fight and stay there until God has done what God said He would do. Hope. Hope. And that leads me then, as I close, to the scripture we began with, Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Have a look at this. Look at this. Romans 15, 13. Paul says to the Romans, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust Him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. The truth is this: hope is critical to your joy and your peace. When a Christian is lacking in joy and lacking in peace, and I'm not talking about this superficial happiness. You could be going through one of the worst seasons of your life and have a deep well of peace inside of you. You could be in the middle of a battle and still find a joy that somehow bubbles to the surface in the middle of your fight. But when you find a Christian who never seems to have any joy, a Christian who never seems to have any peace, maybe, just maybe, it's because they've got disconnected from their hope. They've got disconnected from the power of hope. Because the Bible says that God will fill you completely with joy and peace when you trust in Him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. I guarantee you, if you ever see a man or woman speak powerfully, if you ever see a man or a woman lead worship powerfully, I assure you that in the middle of some crazy battle, there has been a wellspring of joy and peace that they have found in the middle of it. It's not because they've got it all together. It's because God has got them all together. And therefore, I finish by turning this verse into one of those promises. If you're not sure where God's promise is for your life, here is a promise for you. Grab hold of this and consider it a promise from God to you. According to Romans 15, verse 13, if you today put your trust in God and allow Him to be the source of your hope, God will, number one, fill you with joy. That's a promise. God will, number two, fill you with peace. That's a promise. God will, number three, make you overflow with confident hope. That's a promise. And God will, number four, He'll do this through the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Put your trust in God today, church, and allow the power of the Holy Spirit to fill you with joy, peace, and hope like never before. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to sing a song in a moment, but before we sing that song, I ask you today, on your hope, where is the doubt dial? How much doubt is there right now in your heart and in your mind when it comes to God's promises for your life? Do you even know what God's promise is for your life? Are you holding on to that with 100% confidence? Or is there doubt? Why not this morning in this place make a decision? God, I'm going to stop doubting you. I'm just going to trust you. And in your time and in your way, I'm believing that you're going to do what you said you would do. If that is your confession, then you begin to say that to the Lord in your own words right now. You begin to speak to him right now in your own words, and you begin to tell the Lord, God, I'm letting go of my doubt. I'm letting go of that. And Lord, I'm trusting you now. I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you, God. I'm trusting you with the promises, Lord God, for my life. If you don't know what the promises are for your life, then begin to say, God, show me, Lord God. Show me what you have for me. Show me what your promise is for me, God. I want to know what you have for me, God. I want to know what you have for me. Show me what your word says, oh God. Help me, oh Lord God, to trust you and to hold on to you, God, without any doubt, without any fear, knowing, oh God, that you are faithful, God, that you will keep your word. Come on, begin to speak to him. Begin to speak to him and put that decision into words. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. My hope is built on nothing but Jesus. Sing that again, my hope. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Someone say Christ alone, Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong, in the Savior's love, through the storm, he is Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we want to thank you that you are who you say you are. We thank you, oh God, that you're not a man that you would lie. We thank you, oh Lord God, that you're not going to promise something to us and then just pull it away for no reason, God. We thank you that you are trustworthy, that you are reliable, that you are dependable, that you are unshakable. And God, we say today that our hope is in you. Lord, I ask right now in Jesus' name that you would cause us to be a people who overflow with confident hope. I pray in the name of Jesus that, Lord, we would walk through every day of our lives with a confidence in us that you will keep your promises, that you will provide, that you will open doors. yours, that you will heal, that you will do whatever it is that you said you would do. God, help us to be the ones in this city, in this community. Help us to be ones who stand strong, who stand anchored, knowing, oh God, that whatever is going on around us, we have a hope in Christ. We have a hope in God that will never disappoint us and that will not put us to shame. Lord God, I pray right now for those who are weak in hope. And I pray, Lord God, that today that the dial of doubt will be turned right down in their lives. I pray right now, God, that you will begin to boost their faith in you. That, God, they would not, Lord, listen to the lies of the enemy. I pray right now that your voice of truth would break through into their hearts and minds, and that where there was doubt, there would be faith. Where there was unsurety, there would be hope in Jesus' name. Lord God, transform our prayers, transform our worship, transform our work, oh God, that we may labor diligently, not as people who don't know what's going to happen, but as people who know that you will keep your promise, because you said it, and it is yes, and it is amen. This I ask, oh God, this we pray, God, in Jesus' name, amen. Now begin to lift your hands and thank the Lord if you receive that. Begin to thank him for what it is that he said he would do. Begin to thank him right now. Put it into words. Thank him for your healing. Thank him for your deliverance. Thank him for wisdom. Thank him for guidance. Thank him right now as if it's already done. And then join together and sing with us that God is our cornerstone in Jesus' name.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Go to victoryoutreachmanchester.com for more information. See you soon.